Church, amen.
Amen.
Excited to preach tonight. I hope the message will be a blessing and encouragement to you. Looking forward to Wednesday night being here. Looking forward to Sunday morning.
Amen.
And let me just say this. I don't want to get too caught up in my preaching and leave this unsaid. You know, there's not one member of this church who is more important than the other.
Amen.
And when it comes time to vote on Sunday, you vote the way the Lord leads you.
Amen.
And you don't be worried about the atmospheric pressure or the pressure of, you know, what others might say or think. I know that it's in confidence and nobody knows who did what, but you vote the way the Lord leads you on Sunday. That's what's important. And I am glad to have this opportunity to preach tonight. And I love preaching about Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And I love that. I mentioned it this morning. A great preacher, he told me one time, he said, you look for Jesus on every page of the Bible and you'll find Him. Amen. And of Christ, He is our supreme example in the Scriptures. You know, God in the flesh, Christ Himself. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what the Bible says.
Yep.
And that Christ is, He's revealed in the Scriptures. He is always is and always should be the supreme example for all matters of faith and practice in our life. And I was talking a little bit out of 1 Peter chapter number 2 about by His stripes we are healed. You know, who Him Himself bare our sins in His own body on the tree. You know, part of that Scripture, it says, for even hereunto we are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps.
Amen.
That we should follow in His steps. And I know that oftentimes it's a hard time. And me and Brother Bill, we were talking about there while we were out there just a minute ago. You know, we're never going to meet that standard. And there's some times in our Christian life that although we might not say it, you know, we feel like we've arrived, you know. But I'm telling you, I'm glad that God gives us grace day
Amen.
After day after day after
Amen.
Day after day. And He gives us that ability and that opportunity to follow in His footsteps and to try and be that example. Amen. And that's what I'd like to preach on with the help of the Lord this evening with the through the Scripture that we're getting ready to read. I'd like to preach on leading by example. And we're going to start in Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 1. And I want us to look what the Bible says. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. We know that he's talking of John the Baptist. And it says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him of all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And Jesus was clothed, and John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And listen closely to the following scriptures that we're going to read. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there 40 days, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came unto Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he was walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And I believe that just with the scripture that we've read, I believe that we can tell a lot about the example that Christ set for us. And I know that in my life, when I read the scriptures, the way that God speaks to me is he shows me some ways that I need to be more like Jesus. He shows me some ways that I can follow that example and that I can lead by that example. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this wonderful evening. Thank you for everybody you brought back out to the house of God tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bless everything that's said and done. God, I pray that you help me to preach your word. Lord, have me to say everything that you want me to say and nothing that you wouldn't have me to say. God, I pray that you would just direct my words and my thoughts, God, and cleanse my heart from anything that might hinder me from being filled with your Spirit in this hour. I pray that you help me to preach with power and with love and with a sound mind, and we'll give you all the glory for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to notice firstly as we go back into verse number 9 what the Bible says about the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ. Look what the Bible says. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. I want us to put the brakes on right there, and I want us to talk a little bit. I'll teach and preach a little bit. We know that baptism is the first ordinance of the local church. I believe that baptism is the first step of obedience in following Christ. That's exactly what it is. It is a step of obedience. It does nothing to keep your salvation. It does nothing to more strongly solidify your salvation. But what it does is you're publicly professing to the world that you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel by faith, and that you've been born again. That's what the Bible tells us, is that we're baptized as a public confession of that faith. And that's the first step of obedience. Jesus was perfect and sinless. Therefore, He did not have to have His sins forgiven. Jesus didn't have to get saved because Jesus was the Savior Himself. So why would Jesus get baptized? The Bible says that Christ's words say, "I've come to fulfill all righteousness." And Jesus, in obedience to the perfect will of God the Father, came and was baptized to assimilate Himself with the local church. He came to establish that ordinance. The Bible says that John, that he was the last of what we would call the prophets. And Jesus said that there was never a greater man born of a woman than John the Baptist. And John was the one. He was the forerunner of Christ, the same angel that came to Mary in Luke chapter number 2 and foretold the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. 6 months later, or 6 months earlier, he had come to a woman by the name of Elizabeth, and he had told her and her husband of this one that was to come, their son by the name of John, who would prepare the way for the Lord, who would make his way straight. And Jesus set the table for, or John set the table for Jesus' ministry. John did the introduction, John did the preaching, and John prepared the way for Jesus to come and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to the Jew and to the Gentile both. And what we find in this passage of Scripture is that John, by obedience to the will of God, is baptizing in the wilderness. He's telling people to repent, to believe the gospel. They're coming to him, they're confessing sins, and he's baptizing them. And Jesus comes, and he is baptized by God. And I like what the Bible says, that the heavens were opened, and there was a voice heard from heaven that said, "Behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I'd like to think that when God looks down on His sons and daughters, and He looks down on the children of God, and every step of obedience we take for Him, I'd like to believe that God is well pleased when we make that conscious effort and that decision in every step of obedience that we take towards God. Amen? The Bible says in Philippians 2, it says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Listen to this. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." It goes on to tell us that, you know, that death is how we're redeemed. He was obedient in the sight of God, and he was obedient to the utmost. He gave his very life for the will of God. Amen. I believe that we ought to follow God in obedience. I like what it says down in verse number 12. Look with me what it says. It says, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." If I could just try and take the Word of God and captivate your minds for just a few moments, I want you to picture what is going on here. The Lord Jesus, I would like to consider it this way. The Bible doesn't record any specific type of ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about things that he did and it talks about things that he said before this baptism. But I like to imagine that this baptism is the inaugural point in the 3.5 years of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. That was his first step of obedience when it came to that ministry. So Jesus is making his way towards Jordan, and John, he's been preaching, he's been telling people, he's saying, "Listen, you guys are all hyped up about me, but I'm telling you, there's somebody coming. I'm not even worthy to latch the latchet on his shoes. I mean, he's coming to take away the sins of the world." We're talking about the Christ. We're talking about the Messiah. We're talking about the ones that were foretold from Moses until right now. And I can only imagine at that River Jordan as he stands waist deep in that water, and this line of people are eager to come and confess their sins. As Jesus comes across the ridge of that hilltop and he points at him, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And Jesus comes down and he says, No. You read the other Gospels. And John, he didn't want to baptize Jesus. He said, No, you baptize me. And Jesus said, No. He said, I'm here to fulfill the will of my Father. You know, he was being obedient to the will of God, and he himself was baptized. And that what's your Bible say in verse number 12 right there? It says, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." And I would imagine if I was one of those men in that community, wherever it was that John was baptizing, and I was standing in line to get baptized, maybe I've already gone back to the banks and I'm drying off, or maybe I'm the next one to step foot in that water and get in that line, and I'm just eager to get to John, and I see this take place, and I see that John, he wasn't just messing around, and he wasn't crazy after all. I mean, I was there. I saw Jesus get baptized, and I heard the audible voice of God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost of God in the form of a dove lighted on the Lord of Jesus Christ. There was no denying, if you were there and you saw that this was the one that John was talking about.
Amen.
And you know what happens? Jesus comes back to the banks of that river, and you know what he says to those people? He says, "I got to go." He said, it says immediately. I love the way that the Holy Ghost used Mark to pin this down. I love the words straightway, immediately, forthwith, all these words that they use in the Gospel of Mark. But he says, "I got to go." And they said, "Well, wait a minute. This just happened. And he's been preaching about you for months now. You can't just leave." And he said, "I got to go. I have to go."
Yep.
He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. They said, "Where are you going?" And I can see it in my mind, that Mount of Temptation. And Jesus said, "I'm going up there." And they said, "Well, there's nobody up there. There's nothing to do up there. There's not much up there. There's not even much of a view up there." And he says, "I've got to go. I'll be back." And we sit there, and we look at John, and John looks at us, and we think to ourselves, "What is going on here?" You know, sometimes if you're obedient to God and you follow the Spirit of God, God's going to lead you to do things that people are going to question.
Yeah.
People are going to look at you and say, "Well, what do you mean?" I've had people that I know, that I respect, and I've been talking to them, and they've been praying about me. They said, "Well, I haven't been to church." I said, "Well, I've been at this church in Kentucky, and I've been Canada." I said, wonderful. How many buses they got? I said, "Well, they don't have any buses right now." I said, "Oh." I said, "Well, how many are they running? 150, 100? I said, "Well, we had 12 the first Sunday." And they look at me like, okay, and I can tell. I can read their face like a book. I can tell exactly what they're saying. And I'm sure that there were people when Moses was nailing on that ark. And they wasn't Moses, it was Noah. Moses might build an ark too. I'm just kidding. It was Noah. And Noah was building that ark. And there were people that come by that road and they said, "That man's out there every day building on that. What's his deal?" And he said, "Oh, he did that. My dad told me about that. He was doing that back when my dad was a kid. He's this crazy old man. He thinks that water's just going to start falling out of the sky one day and the judgment of God is going to come down on all of us as they walk their way down to indulge in whatever sin it was that they were given to at that time." The Bible says that, you know, the imagination of man was wicked continually in the days of Noah. And Noah just kept staying faithful to God. And he kept saying, God's going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to bring that rain. I'm sure there were people when Moses got with Aaron and he talked to those slaves, he said, "We're going to get out of here." Yeah. He said, "No, you don't understand. We've been slaves for so long. We might as well just stay here." He said, "No, God's going to deliver us from the hand of Egyptians, and I'm going to go tell Pharaoh myself to let you go." They probably thought, "Man, this guy is out of his mind." And let me tell you something. When you decide to be obedient to God, when you decide that you're going to follow the Spirit of God, God is going to lead you to some places where people are going to say, "What in the world are they thinking? What in the world are they doing? What in the world? What's gotten into them? What's behind them?" And I'm here to tell you that God is going to take you outside of your comfort zone. God is going to take you to places you never thought you would go. He's going to show you things you never thought you could see. He's going to involve you and put you into things that you never thought you would be a part of. And when it's all said and done, you can look back on it. You can see the purpose and the plan that God had all along, and you can rest in His comfort and in His assurance and in His sovereignty. Amen. Jesus leads by example in obedience. Amen. Not only does he lead by example in obedience, let's look at verse number 12 again. "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him." I always wondered, that's one of those things, we'll do a little side note here. That's one of those things that keeps me up at night. Thinking about one of those things you read in the Bible and you think, I wonder what that was like being up there on that mountain. The Bible gives us a great description of what it was like with that temptation and the devil. In another passage, it gives us a greater description of that, but it says the angels ministered unto him. Those are the things that I stay up and I just lay in bed for 2 or 3 hours at night, you know, just wide awake thinking about stuff like that. And what that must have been like. Anyway, meanwhile, back in the Bible, in verse number 14, what we find, it says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Not only do we notice that Jesus was Jesus set the example in obedience, we know that he set the example in obeisance. That's a word that you find in your King James Bible, and what it means is to humble yourself or to give reference to something of a higher power. And what the Bible says, you know, I can't pretend to you to understand all the intricacies and the purpose and the reason behind fasting, but I do know this. When we fast and when we pray, God knows we mean business. And Jesus was willing to be led of the Spirit up onto that mountain, and the Bible says that he fasted and prayed. And there's another passage in the Scripture where it says he gave obeisance to God, amen, where Jesus himself bowed before God the Father and prayed for his will. Jesus set the perfect example. If Jesus could go up on that mountain and pray for 40 days and 40 nights and go without food and water, strictly living on the Word of God, and the devil knew how hungry he was because he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread." He withstood the temptation of the devil. Man, I tell you, some of the worst times the devil will tempt you is when you're trying to do something for God, when you're trying to show reverence for God, when you're trying to get serious with God, especially in the prayer closet. I'm telling you, I can go all day without getting a phone call, and then I get alone to try and pray, and my phone just blows up. Or the house can be quiet and there's not a creature stirring like the old poem would say, and it's just quiet in the house, and I go to find somewhere to pray, and it seems like the dogs start barking and the dogs will start fighting and people start coming in and out of the house, and there'll be horns honking outside and sirens going on. But you try to show obeisance to God, and the devil's going to try and disrupt that. But Jesus, He persevered through that. Jesus persevered through that, and He said, no matter what the temptations are, no matter what the devil tries to throw at me, I'm going to give glory to God, I'm going to show obeisance to God, and I'm going to give Him the reverence that He deserves. Amen? Jesus Himself, God in the flesh, set the perfect example for obeisance towards God. Amen? He sets that example for us, not only in obedience and in obeisance, but in outreach. In outreach. What did it say in verse number 14 we just read? Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. You know the first thing Jesus did when He came off of that mountain? He got right back to work. He got busy doing what God had put Him there to do. And He began to preach the gospel. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that He was looking for souls. Amen? That He was looking for men, that He went out and He was trying to make disciples of men. And I find it interesting. I love the example that the Scripture sets with us with the Lord Jesus Christ. I find it interesting the following verses and what it says. He was preaching, and the Bible says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as He walked by the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and Andrew, His brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. You know, the Bible and the Gospels, if you'll study, the four Gospels present Christ in four different lights. That's what it teaches us. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, presents Him in His kingship, in His royalty as the Messiah. It presents Him high and lifted up on that throne. However, Mark presents Him in that contrast as the lowly servant of God who came to this earth in the likeness of men. And the Bible, what we read about earlier, it said, made Himself of no reputation. And we have Luke, and it presents God in His humanity, and it talks about Christ and His earthly relationships. It talks about His conception and how He was conceived of the Holy Ghost and His miraculous birth and His death on the cross and all these things. And it goes into very great detail because it's coming from the viewpoint of a physician. And however, we have that contrast with Luke and with John, where it presents Christ in His deity. 100% God, 100% man. Hey, I can't explain it, but I can tell you if the Bible says it, I know it's true. Amen? Jesus wasn't 50% man and 50% God. Right. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. Amen? Right. So here we have the Gospel of Mark, and what we say it presents God, what will we say it presents Him at? The servant in His servanthood. And we've mentioned that in this Scripture that we've read, He's given us that example in obedience. He's given us that example in obeisance. And He's giving us this example of servanthood in outreach in this passage of Scripture, because we know that He came to Simon and Andrew. And what's the Bible say? He came to them and they were mending their nets. If you've ever tried to mend a net, you will know that it is one of the biggest pains you'll ever go through in your entire life, trying to mend a fishing net. I got buddies, and we like to catfish down in West Virginia, and they throw cast nets to catch bait fish and all these things like that. And I know this, that when they get hung up and they pull those nets out of that water and they're all ripped up and they're torn up, they are not going to spend the time fooling with mending those nets. They're going to pitch that thing in the trash and they're going to buy a new net. Now these men, they're fishers. Now they probably don't have as much money as the other guys do. It's just two poor fishermen boys. They're working to mend these nets. That's what Jesus found them doing. But if you go a little bit further in the Scripture, what you find is that He finds another two young men, another set of brothers. And what the Bible says is, when He had gone a little further thence, He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John and his brother also, who were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, listen to this, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with their hired servants and went after him. They find these men, he finds these men, James and John, and they're in that ship, but they're in a little bit of different situation. They're there with their dad, and they've got hired servants. And I hope you're starting to, I hope that the picture here is starting to come into fruition in your mind, because what I'm seeing is that it didn't matter what class of people Jesus was going after. Jesus didn't just, he didn't just come to the rich fishermen. And I'm sure when that ship came into the port, I'm sure that when that they came to the Sea of Galilee, they said, that's Zebedee's ship. They said, oh, that's so-and-so. He's worked on Zebedee's ship forever, and he's a servant, and that's John. And one of these days, that boat's going to be his. See, they knew because they had enough money to hire servants. And following along with Jesus are Andrew and Peter. These men that probably didn't have two nickels to rub together, and they're just trying to mend their nets. They're just trying to make a living. And I know the Bible says that James and John were well off, because in the Bible, when you go into the Gospels and you start to get towards the trials of Jesus Christ, we know that John was well known in the temple. He was well known among the politicians. He was well known among the Romans and the Pharisees. And there are times that the Bible uses this phrase, speaking of James and John. It says he ministered to them of their substance. James and John had a great amount of wealth. And you know, to the naked eye, it might appear as though James and John gave up more than Simon and Andrew. But the important thing here is that both sets of brothers were willing to forsake all. I'm telling you, what we need today are some Christians who are willing to forsake everything and follow Jesus Christ. Who want to say, I'm not worried about what I'm leaving behind. I'm not worried about what the world has to offer me. The only thing that I want is God's will for my life. And I'm telling you here tonight, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is no respecter of persons. It don't matter if you're black, yellow, brown, white. It doesn't matter if you grew up rich. It doesn't matter if you grew up poor. It doesn't matter if you grew up on this side of the Ohio River or the other. Amen. The only thing that matters is that we have a Lord who's willing to provide us with such a great example in the Scriptures. He's willing to give us mercy. He's willing to give us grace. He's willing to allow us to have the opportunities and the outlets to serve Him. Amen. And to do so freely.
Amen.
Christ is our supreme example in the Scriptures. He sets the example for us. Amen. He set the perfect example in outreach. He was just trying to reach anybody He could. Anybody and everybody that He could. Amen. I believe that ought to be the desire of the local church.
Amen.
Is that all men might come to the knowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. That there's still forgiveness for sins.
Amen.
That tomb is still empty. Amen. And Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father, ever making intercession for you and I. He's that example for us to follow. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I believe the Scriptures are clear, and if you're anything like me, there are times in your life where maybe you don't follow that example quite as clearly as you should. Maybe you don't pray the way that you should. Maybe you don't show that obeisance the way that you should. Maybe there's times in your life where you're red hot for God and you're wanting to get that van out there and you're wanting to get those kids, but since that desire has kind of cooled down, that desire has kind of rested down, and you need God to shed a fire in your bones to have that outreach again. Maybe it's simply in obedience. Maybe you've been baptized and you've joined the church, but you haven't really taken another step since then. You haven't taken that next step in obedience. I wonder if there'd be anybody in here tonight that would say, and I'm the only one looking around. Anybody in here tonight that say, "Preacher, I need to work on my example. I need to follow the example of Christ more closely, and some part of that message or another spoke to my heart." Would you just raise your hand? God bless those hands. I wonder if there'd be anybody in here tonight, and you're not even sure if you're saved. You're not sure that if you were to draw your final breath tonight, whether you'd burn in hell forever, or whether you'd be in eternal bliss with the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, that opportunity is presented to you. I'm telling you, the gospel is free to whosoever will receive it. The Bible says that He tasted death for every man. Your sins were paid for at the cross, and He simply asks that you come to Him in faith. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not you could be saved. Not you'd be put on probation and God will wait a little while and see how things go and then maybe you'll be a Christian. Now God will save you where you're at tonight if you'll call on His name. There's nobody looking in here but me. Is there anybody in here tonight that raised their hand and said, "Preacher, I don't know that I've ever been saved. I don't know that if I died, heaven would be my home"? Would you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking but me. "So, preacher, I've never been saved. I know I need to be saved." Would you raise your hand? Would you stand to your feet and turn to page 316 in the hymn book, and we'll sing, "I've Decided to Follow Jesus." And if you want to take a minute and do business with God at the altar, I invite you. I'll sing as long as the Lord leads me to sing. But we'll sing, "I've Decided to Follow Jesus." It's important that we follow that example. Amen.